Well, we're glad you're here. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are absolutely crazy about Jesus Christ. Our whole hearts. We walked in darkness for a long time. Well, some for a long time, some not so long. And maybe there's some in here that are still walking in darkness. I want you to know that when you come out of that darkness, when you find out that it doesn't satisfy, that's what I found out when I was 23 years old, and none of it satisfied, and only he does. And when he came in, everything transforms us. Amen? And now it's just about taking all that we are and giving it to him, because no matter how deep a walk we have, I want you to know there's something more that God has for you this morning. There's more. No matter what you have tasted and seen, he's got more for you this morning. Amen? Each and every one. If you want, whatever you want, he'll deliver. As deep as you want to go is as deep as he'll allow you to come and rest in him. Amen? So many times Christians stay in a superficial way where they do their church thing. Tell your neighbor, say, that's not me. All right. The church thing where they just go to church and, well, okay, I'll appease somebody. We're not here to appease man. We're here to walk in obedience to the word of God. Amen? And then come and worship the Savior. But I want you to know there's so much more than a Sunday service or a Wednesday night. There's them daily mornings with the Father that are so rich and overflowing. Last night, there's about 10 of us here just worshiping and praying. If you're around on a Saturday night, we go from 6:30 to about 8 o'clock. Some just stand and dance for an hour in worship. Some just kneel and pray. And then we get together and have a time of prayer afterwards. It's just a beautiful time where there's no agenda. There's nothing else going on. We've just been doing it some. God's called me back to that a little while ago. And we did it for years. And I just want to be with him. I just want to be where he is. And I know that there's more that he has for each and every one of us. And this morning, as we talk about fasting again this morning, we're going to do a little bit of teaching on that. But before that, Brenda, you want to come on up? Where's that microphone? We use the purple one, Malaj? Because I have no idea. Oh, there's the yellow one. You want the yellow one or the purple one? Where's Malaj? What do you do, go fishing? Or Caleb, get over there on that one and look up Brenda's on the soundboard. Thanks, Chris. Amen.
Well, Wednesday night I had shared a little bit of a testimony that of my personal experience with fasting. And years ago, many years ago, I was not a faster. I mean, I had fasted one day here or one day there. But my mentality was, if God puts it on my heart to fast, then I'll fast. Well, how many know how often that is? So, especially if that's your attitude. So, I really didn't, you know, my husband would call fasts, and I would just be more of the, well, if I'm quiet, nobody will really know that I'm not fasting. And he knew. But my attitude stunk, really. Well, years and years ago, he had called a 21-day fast, and I was sitting here, and I did my typical, okay, whatever, you do what you're going to do, and I'm not going to do that. And I let it go, and there wasn't another thought in my head. And then it was a Wednesday night. I drove home. This is when we were living in Norton Hill. Drove home, never gave it another thought, went to bed. And that night, the Holy Spirit dealt with me in a dream. And I can give you the details of that if you want to know more about that dream. I can share that with you. I'm not going to go into that right now. But the basic part of the dream that was the most impacting was that really I was running from the enemy the whole night, running from a demon. And it was taking its toll on me. I was running in my own strength, and it took its toll on my family and in the dream. Just before I woke up, I went into the bathroom, shut the door, and turned on the light, and the thing was in the mirror, and it grabbed me. And I kept rebuking it in the name of Jesus and rebuking it in the name of Jesus. And I woke up doing that, saying, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I wasn't afraid when I woke up. Usually in those kind of dreams, when you wake up, you're like afraid. There was none of that. And that's how I always know it's from God, because there was no fear involved. And I just laid there for a minute, and I said, Lord, why wouldn't it go? Why wouldn't it let go of me? I was binding it in your name. And he said, as clear as I'm speaking to you today, but these kind only come out through prayer and fasting. Now, had I been pondering, fasting, and all of this the whole night, I may not have thought so much of it. But I want you to know, at that moment, I agreed to do whatever God called me to do. And I went into that 21-day fast with the mindset that, God, if you give me the strength to do this, I'll do it. And so that was my very first extended fast. And God victoriously brought me through that.
Amen.
And many years, over the years, we have seen God bless so much in the fast and do so much. And I mean, there's just, I can't even begin to explain the process and the things that God has done in our lives through the fast.
Amen.
But 2 years ago, Kathleen had called me and she said, I have to give you a word. This was at the very end of our two-week fast that we were having. And she said, I have to give you a word. God told me to tell you that he's ripping the fear of sickness out of you. And she said, Miss Brenda, I argued with him and I told him, Lord, maybe is it somebody else? It's probably not Miss Brenda. But, you know, I knew exactly what he meant. I have been wrestling with fear of sickness my entire adult life. My grandmother was a hypochondriac. She had 32 different prescription medicines on her nightstand at any given moment. And when she died, she actually could not feed herself. Her hands would shake so bad. My father died of cancer, my mother of Alzheimer's. And every time I would forget something, the fear would be like, or every time I had a bump or a sore spot or something happened inside my body, the first thought was, oh my goodness, it's cancer. Nobody knew this because what I would do was fight it in the spiritual realm. In the name of Jesus, go out. And, you know. But I was fighting from a place of fear. But God honored that anyway and brought me for many years that way through this whole process. But I could tell you, through that fast, God delivered me from fear of sickness. And I no longer have a fear of sickness. God ripped that thing out of me so quickly. And it was through the fast. And I just want to encourage you, if you haven't been participating in the fast up to this point, jump in. Jump in. It is exciting and it is fun. There is a place of rest where you can find peace and where you can get alone with God. And he does carry you through. And it is, there's no better feeling than coming to a hill and being like, oh God, I don't know if I can do this. Getting in his presence and all of a sudden you're on the other side of it. God is so faithful every time. That is an awesome experience. I can't encourage you enough. Jump in. Get your things, your list of things you're believing God for. Don't wait till after the fast for your blessing. God will bless you in the fast each and every day. He's got something for each one of you. Don't drop this opportunity. Jump in and see what God has for you.
Amen. Amen. Mm.
Okay, so last January, I jumped in and I started the fast. During the fast, I was praying and fasting and was not feeling anything. Didn't see any changes. I didn't feel any closer. I was watching people around me being blessed and coming closer to God and building a relationship. I gave up. I stopped. I felt like it wasn't working for me. It wasn't my time, you know, whatever. So that was in January. Boy, was I was so blind at that point. My blessings poured throughout this year. It started in maybe late March, and it just one door after another opened. My fear started to dwindle. Long story short, I won't go into all the details, but there was one point in August when I came up for healing. He had taken me to my knees around July in pain. I couldn't get out of bed. I was in so much pain. So in August, I came up for healing. He had spoken to me for about a week to come up for healing, and I did. And I had hands laid on me. I was anointed in oil, and he freed me from physical illness. I had been diagnosed with anxiety and lupus and fibromyalgia, all those fun things to have. and they all went away. Over time, it wasn't immediate, it was over time, but the thing that he healed for me the most was my emotional hold. I was a prisoner in my own mind, and he freed me from that.
Amen.
Because of that freedom, I'm able to see the victory in my family.
Amen.
And he healed my marriage.
Amen.
And it's just so many blessings. I'm getting covered in blessings. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing it around me. And my son is now talking to me again and allowing me to pray with him. And, you know, that is such a huge step in my family.
Amen.
So don't give up on your fast. You may not see the results during your fast, but just trust that he hears your heart. It's got to come from your heart.
Yeah.
And he will bless you in the long run.
Amen. Amen. Good job, baby. Listen, if you're the first-time visitor here, yep, we fast, and it's scriptural. And right now we're in the middle, towards the beginning, sort of a 20-day fast. So we're 20 days, and fasting in the scriptures is always going without food, which is a nemesis for most of us. Nobody likes to go without food in an extended period of time, but we see in the scriptures it's quite clear. We're just going to talk about that a little bit this morning, you know, and so many people, when they hear the word fasting, they think it's a spiritual duty. But it's not this morning. It's not some duty that we have to do. It's not something that earns us favor with God. It's not so much about what we have to do. While long-suffering is a part of the Christian walk, you know, fasting is less about what we're giving up, and it's more about what we're making room for. Amen. It's not about what we're giving up. So many people, many Christians will say, well, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do that. I don't care. That doesn't make any sense to me. Neither does asking for forgiveness and all my sins being washed away. But I believe that. Amen? But so many will say, no, I don't want any part of that because that affects my psuche, my mind, my will, my emotions, my body. And my body, I like to eat. Who doesn't? Some people only like to eat the same thing all the time. How boring. I want to eat everything in every country we go to. I want to try it all. And if they don't cook it right, I'll bring Matt with me. Matt can cook it a different way, right, Matt? But it's about making room. It's not about what we're giving up. It's about what we're making room for. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but as we eat through the holidays, we get a little lethargic. We get a little bit lazy. We get overwhelmed. And, you know, if you've never fasted before, I just want to encourage you to take a meal. Just take a meal and say, Father, I'm going to spend this hour in prayer before you, and I'm going to give up eating for this hour. Because like Brenda said, she tried it for a week and didn't see anything happen and said, this stuff doesn't work. Can I tell you, God's word always works. Always. Always. And we were sitting in prayer the other night because we have prayer from 6 to 7 in the morning and 6 to 7 at night. And if you're free, please come and join us. It's a powerful time in prayer. With one couple that had been in church for many years. And they said, his wife said, I've been a Christian for 72 years and I've never fasted. Never heard it in the church. It's one of those things that most just skip over. It's sort of like pastors preaching on gluttony. Because most of them don't have the freedom to do that. That's why I like to fast. Get that thing under control. My pants feel really good today. And so I'm getting freer, and I'll be able to preach on gluttony soon. But most of them don't, and so many of them won't preach on fasting either because they don't do it, and they don't want to do it. So we skip over those areas, but can I tell you, it's one of the most powerful tools you'll ever experience when you walk with Jesus Christ. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit obviously is the most powerful gift that God has ever given us, but when we start to understand what fasting is and what fasting does, everything changes when we surrender that to the Lord. And, you know, if we look in 1 Samuel chapter 7 in verse 6, and it talks about, it said that Israel drew water and he poured it out before the Lord. And that's really what we're doing. We're taking our lives and we're pouring them out before the Lord. Now here the ark had come back. Samuel was getting ready to pray. They were going to battle with the Philistines. And yet, there was an outpouring. He poured out an offering, Samuel did. He poured out an offering before the Lord. And this is what it is. It's taking our hearts and saying, Father, I need some more understanding. I don't know about you, but I always need more understanding. And even the people that fast naturally, there's a lot of people, it's getting bigger and bigger on people that fast. And your doctors will tell you it's the best thing you can do to give your body a rest once a week. But even they talk about the natural things. But when I fast, my mind gets clearer. My mind gets sharper. It's not weighted down with the foolishness or the busyness or the food. It's not the focus. And I can hear more clearly. And one of the scriptures that we read in Luke in chapter 2, we remember Anna in the temple, and she was a widow. The scripture says, and she was a widow in her 80s. And it says that she never left the temple. She was always at the church. She was always there praying and fasting. It was something that she said, no, this is going to be a part of my life. This is who I am. I want to see the face of God, and I want to know him in a pure way. And the scripture says that she did. She got to see Jesus when he was dedicated, only 8 days old. Because she fasted and she prayed and she kept herself. And she had one thought, I want to know him. I want to meet him. And this morning, I want to encourage you. I don't know where you're at. But if you're struggling this morning, maybe in an area of your life, maybe you're struggling in your marriage, tell your neighbor, say, oh, not me. Okay, for those that are married. But each one of us go through a struggle at times in our marriages. Some more oft than not. Some, it's a constant battle. And can I tell you that in marriage, the battle is easily won when we die. It's very easily won. Every issue in my marriage, well, you heard it from my wife. I'm not fasting. I don't care what you say. She said that, not me. All right, so you know what I've been dealing with. You can take that girl out of Mississippi, but them rebels are tough to get that stuff out of there, you know what? But every single issue in my marriage was because I decided to be alive and well. I decided that I was going to either do it my way or win. And that's what fasting does. It teaches us, according to the word of God, to die to ourselves. That your mind, your will, and emotions can't consume and control you. Your flesh cannot dominate you all your life. You can bring your flesh into submission. Amen? What's going on? Look what's going on in America now and around the world. The flesh is dominating everything. Where no matter what, it's always about, I'm better. We're coming up to another election year, which is going to be another disgusting year in America, where all they do is rip each other to pieces. Something that's supposed to give us direction, to give us hope, to give understanding, to bring wisdom, to bring a direction for a country turns into just a bloodbath. When who can throw the most mud on the other one so everybody will believe all the lies that are spread about each one? And maybe it's the truth, but all they do is rip each other to pieces. And sometimes that filters into the church. Tell your neighbor, say, not here.
Not here.
All right, because the Bible teaches us that we're to build each other up. How? In the most holy faith. So we're to build each other up in faith. That's marriages, our children, each other. And that's what happens because our natural man will want to come in and win the confrontation, win the argument. Oh, that the church would stop trying to win the argument and just walk in the power of God. You know, most of the people that got healed in the New Testament were all heathens. We've made it something that you have to come into the church. You have to get saved. You got to do this and this and this and this. But the reality is, you're the ones that are to be out there touching people's lives. But how many Christians have even prayed for someone for a healing or prayed for them and led them to Christ in a salvation prayer? Why? Because we've been so afraid because it's, hey, bring them into the church. We got to get it all right. No, you are who he says you are. You see, but a lot, many people don't believe that because their flesh still dominates. I've never seen it. It hasn't happened through me. There's a reason why that it hasn't happened through us. And so much of it is because of our arrogance and our pride. And that's one of the things that fasting attacks is our pride. The scripture, excuse me, according to the law, fasting, it's the expression that's used is humble your soul. And that really is the basis of fasting. Yes, we give up food, your body can sustain it. You give up food for a season, and your body is going to be able to walk in strength and in power. You say, well, yeah, you're a pastor. You know, you preach for an hour and a half a week, and then you're done. You sit at your house. You lay on your couch, and you just read. You don't do anything all day. You're right. Before I came over here, I was in Greenville, and I was hauling cars at night from 4 at night to 4 in the morning, and I would fast. I was working 12-hour nights hauling cars, and then I would be at the prayer group in the morning. And I'm here to testify that God is able to sustain us no matter what we do. When you want him more than you want your old life, I don't know about you, but I am so grateful 2019's over. I haven't said that about many years, but this was a rough year for us to walk through. And I'm very grateful for a new beginning right now. And I'm looking forward to what God has for this year. But there's one thing that I want to do. I want to be like Anna, and I want to spend my time praying and fasting because I want to see him. And I want to know him clearly. And I know I want to know what he has for our church this year, a direction and a vision this year. Yeah. Right now we're praying for that church in Stuyvesant. They've closed it up. We're waiting to hear from the classes or the ones that rule. And some people want it for a youth center or something like that in Stuyvesant. So he said, well, send in your letter of intent. So we got to write a letter of intent this week. And then send it to them and believe God that we can walk up there, that we can purchase the building and plant another church up there. Amen? We're renting the church in Philmont and believing God that that's going to turn into a church plant over there. Amen? And then there's other churches. I was talking to another pastor up in Windham, on the backside of Windham, Pastor Charlie Gokel. And can I tell you, the Methodist churches, they're going to be emptying. They're already dying faster than just about any other religion or any other denomination in America. And now they just decided the Methodist church is going to split on homosexuals in the pulpit. Now, so the conservative ones are going one way, the liberal ones are going another way. So guess what? There's going to be more churches. You know what we're going to need? We're going to need more men and women that are equipped to go out and preach the word of God and build the kingdom of God. Amen? You know what's going to happen in order to make that happen? We're going to have to die to ourselves and stop running after what the world's running after and desire to build his kingdom and say, Father, if you can use anybody, you can use me. And unless that happens in men and women's hearts, we're going to be limited in how much of the kingdom we can build and how far we can reach. But I believe there's a lot of men and women in here. And that's what I'm praying for this year. Believe in God. Yeah, but Pastor, I like it here. Okay, then you guys stay and I'll go start another one. You see, I'm only interested in the kingdom of God. I'm not interested in a church. I'm interested in the body of Christ. Amen? And that body is everywhere. And I wouldn't hesitate if he said, hey, listen, I need you down in Newburgh, start something else. Listen, I love you guys, but there's great leadership here and they would be able to carry this into the next dimension. Because it's not about a person. It's about God himself. Yeah. And it's about finding what he has. I don't want the good or the permissive. I want the perfect will of God. And in order to find that out for your marriage, for your children, for your life, for the call of God on your life, whatever your call is, if you're not sure of it, take some time and fast. You want clarity of mind? Take some time and fast. But I want to encourage you, in your fast, make sure you're journaling every day. Write down what God is speaking. Because he'll speak to you things that you're going to fight with later on when you start eating. Guarantee. You start writing down what God's speaking to your heart, all he wants to do in you and through you. You come off the fast and you're going to say, well, that's probably later on. Well, I don't know. It's probably because I hadn't eaten in 10 days. I was delusional when I wrote that down. People come up with all kinds of ideas and they make all kinds of excuses. But I want you to know God wants to speak to each one of us. And all it is about emptying ourselves from eating. That's it. That's it. And we find out how addicted we are to eating rather than being so addicted to him that we want to lay that down. There's one gentleman who's done 40 day fasts. His name is Ravi Zacharias. Powerful ministry. Fasting allows God to move and work through you in a great way. Fasting allows us to see him more clearly and not be distracted with the cares of this world. So many, an observation of those who have fasted, we see it in the Old Testament, whether it's Moses or Isaiah, these men have all fasted. David had fasted. In the New Testament, obviously there's fasting. And an observation of those that are fasting, it was a burning desire and it was a desperation to touch the Lord. That's what this is, a desperation to be one with the Father, that there would be nothing between your soul and your Savior, that you said, Lord, tonight, we're just going to set everything else aside. I'm going to sit with you. We're going to give up food for a little while. I want to sit with you and I want to hear your voice so clearly that I don't have all the other echoes, because I believe that God wants you to be a voice and not just an echo. Amen? I believe he wants you to be a voice in your neighborhood, in your family. Ah, your family's going to say you're crazy. Your family's going to say, what, you go out without food? What is that, a cult you belong to? Trust me, we've been called everything under the sun. Amen? Yet God keeps adding to the house. And I know it's because we made a decision that we want him more than we want man's opinion. We want him more than we want the fear, than we care about the fear of man. We have the love of God, but it's about those who desire to touch the Lord, who desire and to be touched by him. I don't know about you, but one touch from him and everything changed in my life. One moment with my Father and everything was transformed in my life. Every ministry is about touching the lost, isn't it? See, they poured out the drink offering. He pours out the drink offering, giving it to the Father because he wants to know clear. He wants to hear, do we go out and do we defeat the Philistines? And the Father said, yeah, go, because you're going to beat him. And he caused the confusion to come. I want you to know every battle that you have, you're never going to face a bigger battle than they did in the Old or the New Testament. Your battles are no bigger than theirs. Yeah, but you don't know what goes through my mind. Yes, I do. Because we all have the same mind, pretty much. And all kinds of foolishness goes through our mind. Pastor Mike said that a minute ago. You have no idea. I wouldn't want to know the thoughts that he has. Yeah. I don't want his thoughts in my head. That's a scary thought. But I want God's thoughts in my mind. And you see, as they poured out the drink offering before the Lord, before the battle, this is what we do before the battles. What did we say in that song? This is how I fight my battles. This is worshiping the Lord. When we take this time, we pull aside and say, Father, you have given us so much. I was talking with Arthur this morning, and he was saying on, what was it? Breakpoint. They said it's the most prosperous time in the world right now. People being fed around the world in a greater way. We have countries now that will refuse the food from America because they don't want any GMOs in their country. No genetically modified organisms in their country. So they won't take food from us. That tells you they got enough. That tells you that something has changed, because when you don't have any, you'll take everything you can get. But he's saying it's one of the most prosperous times on planet Earth as far as people being fed around the world. Yes, there's pockets, we know, there's places, but so much of that is the government holding back in certain areas and not giving the people the food that's there. But it is one of the most prosperous times. It needs to be one of the most prosperous times for the church, not in finances, not in food, but in salvations, because we have come that they would be set free. We're here so that they would hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if their pockets are full and their bellies are full and they go to hell, what good was all the food that we produce in America? And so God wants to get us to a place where we can hear his voice more clearly. Every ministry and everyone that knows in the name of Jesus Christ, everyone is here. You're a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In that touch from the Lord, you know, we are to find our complete and total healing in our heart, emotionally and physically. In that touch, our lives are never the same, inasmuch as we desire the things of God and they become non-negotiables. I believe after the testimony that either of the Brendas had this morning, that there's non-negotiables when it comes to fasting in their lives. The length of it, maybe that's a negotiable, but not fasting. Why? Because not only did they touch the helm of God, the helm of his garment, but then the King of Glory touched them and ripped fear out, ripped disease out, brought healing into their lives, freedom into their thought process. Let me tell you, when God does that, you want to get back into that place where you were touched by him. Amen? Maybe you've never felt a touch from God. Listen, this is not, there's no condemnation, there's no force, none of that. But I want you to know it is something that Jesus does desire for us to do. In Matthew 6:16, it says, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. We're not going before man to show them, try to prove that we're spiritual. We go before the Father in secret. The Bible says, wash your face, put on a smile, put on your good clothes. Don't tell anybody, because whatever you do in secret, he's going to expose out and open. Amen? He's going to bless you openly what you do in secret. So this isn't about walking in. What's going on, brother? Fasting. Getting close to God. Really, you're fasting? Yeah. Yeah, I am. It's me, the faster. The pastor that's faster. That's who I am. Yep. You've got your reward because men have looked and said, whoa, you're spiritual. Whoa, you're doing something that I don't normally do. God said, your reward is done. You went before man and you tried to get man to look at you and give you accolades. I don't want accolades from man. I want them from the Father. So we do it as individuals here, and we do it before the King of Glory with all of our hearts. Amen? And delighting ourselves in the Lord and committing our ways to the Lord, believing that all we have need of, he has. How many people, how many Christians are still running around trying to figure out or produce something that they have need of? They're still trying to do it in their own strength. God said, wait a minute, come here, sit with me for a little bit. I want to show you there's a different way. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I want you to be able to hear it so clearly that you're not wasting time amassing things, running after, chasing after, trying to do it in your own strength. I want to give it to you, but you're going to have to come with me because there's some things in your life that I want to get rid of first. How many know God gets rid of things when you're fasting? Right? The girls testified this morning. I believe God wants to do a lot more healing in each one of us through this fast. Luke 2:37, it says, and we already talked about it, Anna, she never left the temple with fastings, praying night and day. Why do we fast? In obedience to God's word. Joel 2:12 says, now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. With fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Turn to me, come and sit at my feet. 2 Corinthians 6:4-6, it says, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, and by nold. By fasting, Paul said, look at that. All of these things I endure, but I've got to fast. I've got to hear God so clearly. I want to hear that call saying, come over here. That Macedonian call, come over and preach the word of God over here. I want to hear when one of the family members say, hey, can you just tell me what I'm doing wrong? I want to be able to hear that so clearly. Maybe they don't word it that way, but I know that when I sit with the Father and I'm writing things down during a fast, that he's giving me building blocks of things that are about to come. Can I tell you, the Spirit of God wants to show you things that are about to come. He wants to show you what he's about to do. No different than the dream with my wife. The enemy, she was sitting there trying to rebuke him. He was showing him, look it, I've got things for you to do. I've got some enemies I need you to disperse out of people's lives, but I need you to get an understanding. Some of them don't come out but by prayer and fasting. Therefore, you're limiting yourself if we don't deny ourselves or we don't surrender ourselves to the word of God. Matthew 9:15. It says, Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Then they will. He didn't say they might. And then back in Matthew 6:16, it says, whenever you fast. as we call a corporate fast. Last year, we had a two-week fast, and the year before, we fasted 1 week, and then every Wednesday. It's not about some religious thing that we do. It's a hunger in our heart. It's wanting to be used by him in a greater way and not waste our time. I don't know about you, but I've wasted some days in my life since I've known Jesus Christ. I haven't given him my all at times. I've sat back. But when we get in there, and it breaks that curse, and it reminds us how loved we are. He always reminds us in the midst of the fast how precious we are to him. We fast to humble ourselves before God to obtain a greater desire for his wonderful working grace and power in our lives. This is always about humbling ourselves before him. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift you up. And then we see, in closing this, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, it says that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and he was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. Here the Son of Man comes. He doesn't do any miracles. And then John baptizes him. As soon as he's baptized, the Spirit of God leads him into the desert where he fasts for 40 days. You can fast for 40 days with no issues. You know, make sure that if you've never done it before, I would encourage you start out with a day rather than 40. And for the rest that have been fasting before, how many 40-day fasts have you started and never finished? I've had the desire, started several of them. And then when everybody else was done fasting, I caved in sometimes. Sometimes the Spirit of God said, I need you for a couple more days. And then everybody was eating in the house and I caved in. But I want to make sure that I just do what he calls me to do. And this time we believe that it's 20 days that he wants us fasting together as a body. Because I believe that you're the deliverers that Hudson needs, or Columbia County and Greene County. I believe that as we pray and fast, God's going to speak to you about these buildings that are going to come empty that you're going to have to step into, and you're going to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, and people will gather around and say, how do you know all of that? And you'll tell them, because I fasted and I prayed and I studied the Word of God, and therefore I'm able to share what God has placed in my heart. With Jesus, full of the Spirit, when he came back 40 days after his fast, in verse 14 of Luke chapter 4, it says, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding districts. Can I encourage you, when we fast, when you get done with your fast and you start to step out in what God's called you to do and accomplish those tasks that you wrote down in your journal, as the scripture says here, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout all the surrounding district. This is not about you talking about our fast or what God has done necessarily, but it's news about him that is proclaimed in all the countryside. Amen? When we fast and we lay down our lives and God says, hey, I need you to get rid of this. Yes, sir, I'm laying it aside. Hey, I need you to stop speaking like this. Hey, we got to deal with that anger issue. We got to deal with that lying spirit. We got to deal with that arrogance, whatever it is that God's dealing with you on. And I know he's dealt with me with many things that he said, you need to lay this down. You need to rebuke that thing and not allow it to control you the rest of your life. When you lay that down, then it's about him getting all the glory. Amen? No matter where we walk, no matter what's done or said, it's so that we hear clearly and we only speak what he says. Oh, if the church would only speak what God says, everything would start to change. Sometimes we muddle in the mix of it and we think we have to add to God's word. Let's not add to his word. Let's just take him at his word. Amen? And then, of course, in Isaiah 58, chapter 58 and verses 6 to 11, it says, is this not the fast that I chose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? And when you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth. and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, here I am. So this fast that he's calling, it's not just about you. Because when we start to fast, we start to reach out to those. You know, I want to encourage you, shut everything else down, all the electronic devices, and just sit and read at night. Just sit and read at night. For some, you'll go into withdrawals. For some, you'll just sit there with the clicker, take the batteries out, and you'll just shake with the clicker in your hand. Because that thing, your thumb will just sit there and do this while you're trying to read. Some others will have other reflexes because of it. But I want to encourage you, step away from everything and just grab a hold of the Word of God. And read the Word of God and watch as he speaks to you through his Word. Oh, he wants to show you how madly in love he is with you. He wants to fill you with a fresh anointing, like we sang, where there is new wine, there's new power. And if anything that the world needs today and America needs is a demonstration of the power of God through the body of Christ. They've heard the words, but they need to see the demonstration of power. And if we're not demonstrating the power of God outside these four walls, then the problem isn't the world. The problem is the church. And if we're not demonstrating that, we're going to have to ask why. And we're going to have to get in close with the Father and say, Father, I'm not asking why isn't anybody else. I'm asking why am I not showing, expressing, and walking in the power of God outside these four walls. Because he said it's to everyone that believes. Amen? He said to all that believe, all of them. That means every single person in this room that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants to remove the yoke from your midst. He wants to remove that thought process from your midst in this fall, in this fast. He wants to remove the thought process that you have that's holding you back. You say, I can't. You say, look, that's not for me. I'm not called to do that. I don't understand it all. Well, then ask, and he'll take that yoke from you, and he'll explain the word to you. Amen? God's good like that. Let me tell you something. He'll start to unfold. Before you're saved, I read the word of God, and it didn't make any sense. After I got saved, it started to make sense. Many things I didn't understand, but most of it made sense after that time that I got saved because my spiritual eyes were open. Now when we fast and we pray, it empties ourselves even more so that we can see a deeper understanding and revelation of what God wants to show each one of us. And God's drawing us all together through this. He draws us closer to himself in the midst of a fast. What happens is he wants you to have revelation. Listen, information without revelation does not bring transformation. Can we all agree with that? There's a lot of people that have read for a long time, but until it becomes a revelation to you, Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, and he's washed them all away. When that becomes a revelation, because it's been at the end of every football field for years, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world. People have read it and they've heard it, and it's been information, but it hasn't been revelation to them. Can I tell you, I believe there's more revelation that God wants to give each one of us in the midst of this fast. There's more revelation about the power of God resting in you. There's more revelation he wants to give about that yoke that you've been carrying around. Maybe it's small, maybe it's little, but information without that revelation does not bring transformation, and we need transformation so that we can transform this whole world by the power of his love, not by a bunch of words, but by the power of his love. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to walk in wholeness. He wants you to understand your righteousness has been complete. Listen, if you don't feel righteous this morning, if you feel like you have to duck your head coming to the Lord, or if you feel like someone else in this room is closer to God than you have a right to be, then you don't understand your righteousness. And I'll tell you what, you'll get clarity when you spend time with the Father fasting and praying. You start studying righteousness and all the power that you have. And some people in the midst of a fast have been healed, like Brenda said. Can I tell you, he wants to heal you in the midst of a fast. That's what God wants to do. Some people say, yeah, but, you know, I got to come before the elders of the church. One man said, that's how you know people are babes in Christ. Because he didn't say that everyone had to come before the elders if you needed a healing. He said, if there is anyone that needs a healing. And that means you can lay hands on yourself and be healed. Amen? Did you receive your salvation? Was that God doing it all? Absolutely. Were you made righteous by what he paid for? And that he said, you can be healed in the name of Jesus, didn't he? He didn't say you had to earn it or work for it. He said, but if there is any others that aren't healed, come here, bring them before the elders of the church. They'll lay hands on them and they'll be healed and their sins will be forgiven. Most people don't believe. They're waiting for someone else other than the Lord Jesus Christ to change your life. Waiting for someone else. I want you to know, when you get a revelation of the power of your salvation, the power of righteousness, and the power of your healing through the name of Jesus Christ, because it's at that name that every knee bows. No other name. The only thing we do when we pray for people is we agree with that name that's above every other name. We're just saying the same thing the Word says. But you can say the same thing the Word says over your life and other people's lives. Amen? That's who we are. Why isn't the world... Why don't they see the demonstration of power? Because most of the church don't think they have it. I want you to know you've got that power living on the inside of you through the Holy Spirit. You've got that power living on the inside of you through the Holy Ghost. You've got it. It's not something you have to wait for. It's not something somebody else has to give you. The men and women that have walked out in it are the ones that grabbed a hold of the Word and said, this is for me. There was one guy, Jack, I can't remember his last name. No, years before him. He saw one man walking around. He saw A.A. Allen with these big tent revivals, and he was watching him heal people. And he said, well, if God can use him to do that, he can use me. And he went and he studied the Word of God and started to pray, and he started laying hands on people, and they started getting healed. He just believed that God is no respecter of persons. Amen? I want you to know God's no respecter of persons in this house right now. And what he promised one, he promised every single one in here. He promised everybody freedom. If you're walking in bondage in your mind, maybe you need to take a couple of days and fast. Say, Father, what's causing this bondage? Was it the abuse from yesterday? Was it just my fears that are foolish? What's stopping me from trusting you with all my heart, with all of our family? I knew one pastor's wife. She was afraid during the offering. She would always hold her children's hand, a pastor's wife. And she was afraid to give them to God because she said, I knew that if I gave them to God, they would have to be martyrs and he'd kill them. That was her fear for years. Her sons are still alive and well. But can I tell you, sometimes you get a wrong thought that comes from a long time ago and it's compounded in the kingdom of God and it's a yoke of bondage and slavery. She got delivered from that. Can you imagine thinking that you can hold your children's hand and you can keep them alive? You're not going to offer them to God? Listen, that's the first thing we did. Here you go, Lord, they're yours. You gave them to us. I can't control them. I can't make them do what I want them to do. We did whenever it's young. It's easy when they're young, isn't it? Hey, get in there. Get in your room. Go make your bed. Get up to the table. Sit down. Stand up. Brush your teeth. Okay. Then they hit 13. Why? I don't feel like it. In a minute. What do you mean in a minute? I'll smash that stinking thing. You don't look. And we go through all these different phases. But I want you to know this morning, whatever yoke that you've been carrying that's been hindering you from pressing in to that place, God wants to remove it this morning. And he wants to remove it during this fast. If you've never fasted before, take a meal. And look at, I'm telling you, he will meet you where you're at. He'll meet you there. He is so kind. He is so gentle. He is so powerful. He loves you so much that even if you give up one meal, he's going to come rushing in. He's going to meet you there. And he's going to say, hey, thanks for taking this time to sit with me. Maybe you've taken a meal. Now it's time to take a day. And say, Father, I don't care what it is. Maybe it's your day off. Maybe it's a Saturday. No, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to spend time with God and reading and prayer. And then I'm just going to enjoy him for the day. Take a prayer walk for 26 miles. Then I'm coming back at night and I'm just reading. I'm spending my whole day. Father, this is your day I'm giving you because I need to hear clearly direction for me, my family, what this life is really all about. He comes running in. He meets you where you're at. He's a wonderful Father. And there's power. There's power in prayer. There's power in fasting. Some of the greatest, that's one of the most beautiful testimonies that I've heard in a long time. 1 week of fasting and healed of all your diseases and anxiety that's controlled your life. Chris tried to straighten her out for years. He couldn't do it. 1 week with God and God straightened her out. Amen. Healed her marriage too. That's powerful stuff. Man, that's 1 week, 7 days without food. Listen, I'll look straight down. Some of you should go 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 weeks without food and it wouldn't hurt you a bit. I'm just being honest. How much is your marriage worth? How much are your children worth? Is it worth you just going without food for a little bit to see a breakthrough in them?